It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios. Welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
30 Republican members of Congress delayed the ongoing impeachment inquiry for hours today by storming the secure facility, demanding a fairer process.
Adam Schiff is trying to impeach a president of the United States behind closed doors, literally trying to overturn the results of the 2016 election.
These tougher tactics by House GOP members come after President Trump said Monday the Republicans have to get tougher and fight. Lawmakers on the three committees handling the impeachment probe were supposed to spend much of the day hearing from Pentagon official Laura Cooper.
We do believe that she would be able to shed some testimony regarding the security assistance to Ukraine.
Pentagon officials say Cooper was handed a subpoena this morning, even after she voluntarily agreed to testify. But that was put on hold for hours by Republicans demanding more transparency.
They're doing this because this is what the guilty do. Innocent people cooperate with investigations. Innocent people follow the rules of the House.
It comes a day after the top American diplomat in Ukraine testified behind closed doors. In his opening statement obtained by Fox, Bill Taylor described an explicit quid pro quo. He says he was told Ukraine had to pay up before the president would sign a check. Taylor says he warned Ukrainians would die as a result of a delay in U.S. military aid. He also described then-National Security Advisor John Bolton being very disturbed by the demands that Ukraine launch criminal probes. The White House argues the president did nothing wrong and there was no quid pro quo, and some GOP allies agree.
We've seen the call transcript. We've heard from President Trump, President Zelensky. We've heard from Ambassador Volker. This idea that that there was some kind of linkage and quid pro quo is just not there.
The controversy over Republican lawmakers storming that secure facility is not over. The chairman of the Homeland Security Committee, Democrat Benny Thompson, has written the House Sergeant at Arms accusing the members of bringing their electronic devices in, calling it a blatant breach of security. Thompson is asking that action be taken against them.
All right, Mike Emanuel, last night on a special report, Sandy Rios with you. Never a dull moment in Washington, D.C., and thank goodness for that. Mike says that the president, that he thinks he indicated, he hinted that the Republicans did this at the urging of the president to get tough. But I have to tell you, I know these guys, they're pretty tough. They've been fighting. In that crowd, Matt Gaetz, I think, actually was the leader on there. I know Steve Scalise took the mic also, and so did others, but I think Matt was really the person that spearheaded this, and Jim Jordan was right there too, as was Louis Gohmert. And these guys have been fighting. Man, they are courageous to the max. And so maybe the other 25 needed encouragement, but we've got some real heroes in there. We really do. And so they basically, they did not storm the room. They went into the room when the hearing was about to start, and they are members of the Armed Services Committee, and the person testifying, Laura Cooper, is under their jurisdiction, because their committee covers the job description that she has. So technically, there is something to argue about here. And of course, Adam Schiff is guarding that. They marched in. Bradley Byrne from Alabama said, voting members of Congress are being denied access from being able to see what's happening behind these closed doors, where they're trying to impeach the president of the United States with a one-sided set of rules. They call the witnesses, declared Representative Steve Scalise, who later ordered Domino's Pizza for reporters and New York-style pies from a shop called We the Pizza for lawmakers. This is a Soviet-style process that should not be allowed in the United States of America, Scalise continued. Every member of Congress ought to be allowed in that room. The press ought to be allowed in that room. And so what happened was Adam Schiff then went out the back door, grabbed the witness, took her with him, and then the Sergeant of Arms was called, and they had quite a dust-up. And now we find out that one, at least one, I think one is what I heard in one report, of these congressmen took their Fitbit in. And now they're going to charge, the Democrats want to charge them with ethics violations. So they see how this goes. I don't think it's really having sway on the people, and I'm going to get into that in just a second. I actually think, in fact, I'll go to that right now. I talked about polling, you know, with John McLaughlin yesterday. Monday, actually. Tuesday. What day was it? I think it was Tuesday. And we had a long discussion about the polls that you're hearing on impeachment and why there is a difference between these media polls and the political polls. And interestingly enough, there's a big article on that in Breitbart this morning and a memo out by the Republican National Committee that contains internal GOP polling data showing that the American public, even Democratic voters, are turning against the Democratic Party's impeachment inquiry. I think the Washington Post has a story about that just this morning. But let me talk about the polling for a second. This memo, they showed independent voters nationwide oppose impeachment. 54% opposed, only 34% in favor. You remember in these polls, they say independents are, they will indicate, I've seen these, that independents are in favor or slightly in favor of impeachment. Evidently not, because the internal polls for the RNC and also the President Trump and also other candidates use a very different method of evaluating. And we did talk about that. We'll get into it again for a second. We have seen public polling drastically under sample independent voters. Let me say that again. We have seen public polling drastically under sample independent voters, which is one of the many reasons why so much incorrect public data has been released over the last month. The disparity between internal GOP numbers and public polling from news organizations and polling institutions, that's the reason for that. What's more, the internal RNC polling data shows Democrats have lost support among their own base significantly in just the past week. 10 points among Democratic support for impeachment. Among all voters, the amount is down 5% in just 1 week, which is an incredible decrease. The president has his approval ratings have gone up, especially among Republicans. And he now enjoys a 90% approval rating. And then they go on to talk about that Fox poll and other polls that were so inaccurate. They talked about the incredible sampling of the Democrat, in other words, percentage of Democrats in the poll versus Republicans, and the undersampling of independents, which is the reason why the Fox poll came out with like 11 point difference, as I recall, 11 point difference in the number of Republicans and the number of Democrats, more Democrats than Republicans, and very few independents. So it's just a skewed poll, and the Pew poll, they said, is even worse than the Fox News poll. And I don't have time to break all of that down, but you get the point. And we can put this on our Facebook page. Impeachment backfiring. GOP polling memo shows public turning against Democrat efforts to oust Trump. It's going to put the Democrats in a really bad place. There's no question about it. I don't know how they're going to stop this freight train. They're really caught in the middle. They are. Now, it doesn't seem like that based on the news coverage. It seems like all is lost, but it isn't lost. All is not lost. And so hang in there. That's all I can say. Now, I talked to you yesterday about the Senate, those fine gentlemen who I hope and pray you will vote out next time you have a chance. Americans are going to have to understand that the people that hold those seats right now, almost all of them, are pretty worthless, actually. They love those seats and they love their privilege. And most of them get rich at the Senate now. Most of them do get rich, and they love sticking around, and they don't do things out of the motive of what's best for the country. Hardly any of them do, and I'll give you an example. The Daily Caller polled every GOP senator about the impeachment, and guess what? Only 7 senators ruled out impeachment. Only 7. I told you I was concerned about this, and I want to give you just a couple of examples of their response. Now, some of them didn't respond at all. Some of them gave mushy answers like, I can't weigh in because I have to be on the jury that's going to decide, so I can't prejudice my case. Well, that's absolutely not true, because impeachment is not like a trial. Impeachment is, in fact, a political process. You, in fact, do have a political bias, and you're welcome to it. And you can impeach the president of the opposing party for really pretty much anything you want to. You can call it whatever you want. It's a political process. So that's a thing that they hide behind. Let me just say, I'm going to give you specific answers, though. Senator Lamar Alexander told the Daily Caller that it is, quote, inappropriate for the president to be talking with foreign governments about investigating his political opponents. However, he said impeachment would be a mistake. But don't count on Alexander's vote. That's my part. That's my little interjection. Susan Collins, I'm amazed that so many of my colleagues have already made up their minds one way or the other before all the evidence is in and before the facts are known. Really? North Carolina Senator Richard Burr, his office declined to comment altogether. Well, I can't imagine what Senator Burr would do given what he's done with the Intelligence Committee, which is the most corrupt committee on Capitol Hill. I could go on, but you get the gist of it. And then last night, Mike Emanuel, in his report, had a little bit about Mitch McConnell, who I told you yesterday, you can't count on him. I guarantee you, you cannot count on him. Well, let's just listen to what Mike had to say in the second part of his report.
President Trump has said he told Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell his Ukraine call, which launched this impeachment inquiry, was perfect and innocent, but McConnell isn't on the same page.
You have to ask him. I don't recall any conversations with the president about that phone call.
Yeah, so well, I don't recall. Yeah. Yeah, so I mean don't blame me. I had nothing to do with that. I don't remember that. So so Mitch McConnell's going to have the president's back not. And that's why if the House should vote, I think our greatest hope to stop this is that the polls continue. If you want, you have noticed, haven't you, that Nancy Pelosi looks pretty a little like what do you call that? Something in the headlights. A deer in the headlights, her look right now. It isn't that confident look. It is nervous, and they're nervous for a reason, because they really have backed themselves into a corner. And now that the polls are, even Democrats by 10 points this week are kind of leaving the ship, the impeachment ship, they really are in trouble, I think, and I hope they are. I hope and pray they are. By the way, I told you about that Fox poll and the bogus numbers and the way they skewed the questions. We talked to John McLaughlin about that this week. But here's a little further insight. I told you that the Murdoch brothers, the Young brothers, have taken over from their dad, Rupert, for Fox. Now, James is not actually running Fox News, so don't let me confuse you with this. But he is the brother of Lachlan, who is now running Fox News. And this is just interesting because it kind of is an insight. James Murdoch, the son of billionaire and Fox corporate founder Rupert Murdoch, lavished praise on South Bend, Indiana Mayor Pete Buttigieg Wednesday, declaring the presidential candidate has the courage to solve some of America's most pressing issues. He spoke at Vanity Fair's New Establishment Summit, and he talked about a lot of things. He says that Buttigieg has the composure, character, thoughtfulness, courage to handle some of the hardest challenges that we face. My wife and I have been very enthusiastic about his leadership. The generation that has been making decisions for a while now really hasn't delivered. So in the last cycle, it looks like the federal election reports show that Murdoch gave $2,800 to Buttigieg's campaign, which is the largest amount possible for a primary candidate. Okay, so that's one of the Fox, Rupert Murdoch's boys. Again, he's not running Fox, but you'll just see how the next generation is so very different. Now, I have to say, if I didn't say this on the air already, I have a lot of conversations. Sometimes I can't remember. Rupert Murdoch was not a conservative. Rupert Murdoch was pragmatic, and conservative news was a business model for him. And he made a ton of money doing that. And, of course, it was Roger Ailes who he hired to actually run Fox News who was the conservative. He's the one that really made Rush Limbaugh into what he is. He was Rush's agent. He was the one that helped Rush develop that television show many years ago, and he was a good friend to Rush. Actually, Roger Ailes hired me at Fox. I really liked him. I recognize that he didn't end well, but I'm just telling you, he was a strong conservative in other ways, maybe not morally the man he should have been. I know that he had the he wanted to be. I could say that for a fact, but he didn't succeed. But nevertheless, his principles that he did not adhere to were conservative, and he's the reason why Fox News was conservative, and now he's gone. So we'll just have to stay tuned to see what happens. All right, there's so much more news, and I do want to open the phone lines, too, so just hang on. We'll be back in a second. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
So there's this guy named Jordan, and he's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. But then he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage 4. And here's the thing. He had switched from medical insurance to MediShare, which is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this really going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. If you want to find out more, here's a number for you. 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
It gives an impetus to share your faith when you think you've got answers to objections that you expect people to bring up.
The American Family Studios video series, Intro to God's Revelation, featuring Dr. Richard Howe, shows how God has revealed himself in nature and his word, and how we can rightly understand what God has said.
These truths are just a part and parcel of the Christian life. It isn't just for the professional clergy.
Learn the fundamentals of how to approach and understand the Bible in an age of skepticism. This 6-week video curriculum is perfect for your Sunday school class or study group, and it can prepare you to give a defense of God's Word and how He speaks to us in nature.
Knowing whether and how God communicates is a safeguard against false claims about God communicating.
Intro to God's Revelation, DVDs and workbook, are available for purchase at afastore.net or call 877-927-4917.
This is Pause to Pray, a chance each day to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today, we pray for President Donald Trump. President Trump faces enormous pressure and carries great responsibility as he leads our country. Proverbs 4:23 reminds us of the importance of keeping God first when serving as a leader. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask for guidance for President Trump as he leads our country. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team, a nonprofit, nonpartisan ministry dedicated to encouraging prayer for our nation's leaders. To learn more, go to pausetopray.org.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University is training students to love the Lord, love the Word, love the church, and love the lost. Scripture is the foundation for everything they do. It's who they are, preparing students not just for career, but to fulfill God's high calling on their lives. Truett McConnell University offers a wide array of bachelor's programs, some online, and they also have an outstanding Master of Arts in Theology. So if you'd like to schedule a visit to Truett's campus in the North Georgia Mountains, visit truett.edu.
We've got a big problem in this nation, folks, and it has nothing to do with President Trump. As a matter of fact, he's the one trying to stop the big problem from getting even bigger, and that problem is socialism. There are efforts underway at this very moment to attack free speech and freedom of religion. You cannot have a socialist regime if you have free speech. That's why the left is silencing dissent. But perhaps the most nefarious scheme is to neutralize the churches. George Soros-funded organizations are well on their way to doing just that. The warning signs are there. Some of the nation's largest and most conservative religious denominations have been overrun by social justice and identity politics. That's why I wrote Culture Jihad, How to Stop the Left from Killing a Nation. It's a wake-up call to freedom-loving patriots. If we don't take a stand, we will lose the country. I'm Todd Starnes.
Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
I'm just saying that those who are guided by religious principles should know that in my White House, they will not have to look at Washington and ask themselves, whatever happened to I was hungry and you fed me, I was a stranger and you welcomed me, I was the least of these. You will never have to wonder what happened to those values. And we will honor those moral values that we share.
Yeah, those moral values that we share. I wanted you to hear the voice of Pete Buttigieg, since the Murdoch son is so keen about him, because that's just so confusing. You know, Jesus is talking to Christians, and it's certainly true that that's a personal admonition for you and me, that we feed the hungry, that we take care of people that we see that have needs. We are responsible for that. We help them. But it's not talking about governments. And so it reminds me of Nancy Pelosi, you know, syruply, sweetly telling President Trump she prays for him all the time. Meanwhile, she does these horrible things. Pete Buttigieg talks about morality, and yet he's so thrilled about being a gay man. He talks about it all the time. It's a dangerous way to confuse people who don't have real deep understanding about what faith in Christ means, which means if you love me, keep my commandments. And that's certainly among all the many things, it means moral behavior. So just a word about Pete Buttigieg. And speaking of faith, President Trump in his cabinet meeting yesterday did something I think that I just thought you might want to hear. Let's listen.
Okay, thank you very much. We have a cabinet meeting. We'll have a few questions after Grace. And if you would, Ben, please do the honors.
Our kind Father in heaven, we're so thankful for the many blessings that you have bestowed upon us in this country. And we're thankful for the people of courage who have been here before us, who have fought hard for the rights of our country. And we thank you for President Donald Trump, who also exhibits great courage in face of constant criticism. And we ask that you would give him strength to endure and the wisdom to lead and to recognize you as the sovereign of the universe with the solution to everything. And the people around the president, the vice president, the cabinet, the advisors, give us all an understanding heart and a compassionate heart. Those are the things that will keep America great. And help us all to recognize as a nation that separation of church and state means that the church does not dominate the state, and it means the state does not dominate the church. It doesn't mean that they cannot work together to promote godly principles of loving your fellow man, of caring about your neighbor, of developing your God-given talents to the utmost that you become valuable to the people around you, of having values and principles that govern your life. And if we do those things, then we will always be successful. We thank you for hearing our prayer in your holy name. Amen.
That was Ben Carson, Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, after the president at the cabinet meeting in front of the cameras asked if we could start with Grace. Ben, can you pray? I'm telling you, I've been in D.C. for a long time. And when I first got there for the first several years, I didn't hear people praying in meetings, not even in Christian meetings. I don't know how to explain that, except it wasn't happening. It was like understood, we're all Christians, so we don't need to pray. You know, a lot of the work that I do now, of course, is not with necessarily identified, self-identified evangelical Christians like I am, and public praying is not something that they're necessarily comfortable with. Some of them are of a different faith. And so in many of these groups, we have started praying to open the meetings, these private meetings. I think because there is a sense of that there's something really wicked going on. People, I probably shared this with you before, I think people that normally would be really, really, really uncomfortable with that are drawn to it because they know that this is beyond their pay grade too. As bright and as brilliant and as experienced as they are, it's just too hard for any of us to solve. And so I find that people who normally would not look to prayer are praying. And I just thought that you would want to see that, hear that moment. People on Capitol Hill and in the White House are, I guarantee you, praying for this country. Meanwhile, across the parking lot at the down the street quite a bit, down Pennsylvania Avenue anyway, the Congress was holding hearings for Mark Zuckerberg, well, at least one committee. And he was talking about some currencies developing. I can't explain that part of it, but I have to tell you, I did not realize there was such hostility to Facebook from the left. And I'll give you a sample of this. This was Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and she is grilling Mark Zuckerberg. Let's listen, clip five.
Would I be able to run advertisements on Facebook targeting Republicans in primary, saying that they voted for the Green New Deal? I mean, if you're not fact-checking political advertisements, I'm just trying to understand the bounds here. What's fair game?
Congresswoman, I don't know the answer to that off the top of my head. I think
so probably, you don't know if I'll be able to do that?
I think probably.
Do you see a potential problem here with a complete lack of fact-checking on political advertisements?
Well, Congresswoman, I think lying is bad, and I think if you were to run an ad that had a lie, that would be bad. That's different from it being for in our position, the right thing to do to prevent your constituents or people in an election from seeing that you had lied.
So you won't take down lies, or you will take down lies? I think it's just a pretty simple yes or no.
Congresswoman,
I'm not talking about spin. I'm talking about actual disinformation.
Yes, in most cases, in a democracy, okay. I believe that people should be able to see for themselves what politicians that they may or may not vote for
are saying. So you won't take them down.
Judge their character for themselves.
So you won't take, you may flag that it's wrong, but you won't take it down.
Congresswoman, it depends on the context that it shows up.
Yeah, and you know, we've talked a bit about this. Now, that the reason she's so esteemed is because, as I told you before, Mark Zuckerberg gave a speech at Georgetown last week, or the beginning of this week. It all runs together. And he was talking about the importance of free speech in a democracy. Pretty amazing. Because Facebook had been censoring political ads, making it very difficult for conservatives to advertise, taking down Facebook pages of conservative candidates, and all in the guise of hate speech and lies and fake news. And so Zuckerberg has really done an about-face on this, which I have applauded. And he made the case there with her. She wants him, you know, she wants Facebook to monitor, as though they could, every political ad for whether every statement is true or not true in every race everywhere around the world, because Facebook is all over the world. They're upset because Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook allowed an ad that President Trump is running on Joe Biden, threatening Ukraine with withdrawing aid if they did not fire their prosecutor. That actually happened, and Joe Biden's on tape saying that. So there's no question; it's a fact. But the Democrats are having a fit about that. So interestingly enough, you know, many of you have written this week. In fact, I ask for some feedback that you are a follower of our Sandy Rios in the Morning Facebook page, but you can't get our things that we post don't come up on your Facebook page. Yeah, I don't know the answer to that. There are still a lot of problems with Facebook, and so we will inquire into that, as though I shouldn't have done that already, but we will do that because it's ridiculous. I remember we used to get like 10,000 hits. I would post something and 12,000 people would look at it or watch the video, and I don't see that much anymore. And we're just so busy, we're not attending to that, but I will. So we'll figure out what's happening with that. All right, so Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez went on with the grilling, and this is interesting. You have to listen to this one, clip six.
One more question. In your ongoing dinner parties with far-right figures, some of who advanced the conspiracy theory that white supremacy is a hoax, did you discuss so-called social media bias against conservatives, and do you believe there is a bias?
Congresswoman, so I don't remember everything that was in the in the question.
That's all right. I'll move on. Can you explain why you've named the Daily Caller, a publication well documented with ties to white supremacists, as an official fact checker for Facebook?
Congresswoman, sure. We actually don't appoint the independent fact checkers. They go through an independent organization called the Independent Fact Checking Network.
All right, I'm going to interrupt that because the rest of us just the same mucking over the same thing. So she then repeats the question. You will allow a white supremacist group to be a fact checker, and of course, Daily Caller's Tucker Carlson, the widely known white supremacist. So they do use these fact checkers, and that's very troubling because they have traditionally had really horrible fact checkers. I know, even in terms of the abortion issue, they've had abortionists as some of their fact checkers. So they've done some really bad things, Facebook has, and censoring lots of really bad things. And it is true that Facebook has been having conversations with conservatives. We know about that. So I think we've had an effect, and I'm grateful. Now that the problem's not over, but I'm grateful. But that's how it went down. I'm not through though about Mark Zuckerberg, because I was surprised. I was very surprised to hear black members of Congress go after him about civil rights and African Americans, and how could he understand, and how I think Joyce Beatty even said that, you know, thousands of African Americans have been terribly mistreated by you. Oh, we should just listen to it. It's clip four.
Who's on the civil rights task force?
Sheryl Sandberg is the person who's
what's civil rights? Okay, we know Sheryl's not really civil rights, so I'm trying to help you here. She's your COO, and I don't think there's anything, and I know Cheryl well, about civil rights and her background. So come better than that for me, if we're going to talk civil rights.
It's an internal task force.
Do you know who the firm that you employ for civil rights is?
Congressman, I don't know.
How could you not know when you have employed the most historical, the largest civil rights firm to deal with issues that are major? And this is what's so frustrating to me. It's almost like you think this is a joke when you have ruined the lives of many people, discriminated against them. Do you know what percentage of African Americans are on Facebook in comparison to majority
folks? I'm going to interrupt her because I want to play another clip. So she goes on. So the inference is that he's ruined lives, black lives, by his actions on Facebook. And he doesn't know who all the civil rights. And then she goes on. Do you know how many black people are on this committee? Do you know how it is such a racist question. It must embarrass many of those of you who are black who don't think this way. And it must make you cringe. I hope it makes you cringe. It would make me cringe. It would be like a woman. How many women? Oh, she actually goes into that. How many women are CEOs? How many white men are CEOs? Who cares? I mean, we care, but we don't care. It's certainly not the focus of our lives, but it is the focus of her life. And then Al Green, who's been leading the impeachment charge in the House, had a really, really weird exchange with Mark Zuckerberg. Let's listen.
Is it true that the Libra Association oversees the Libra project?
Congressman, yes.
And is it true that global corporations make up the association?
Congressman, the association is made of today, 21 companies and nonprofit organizations as well.
Of the 21, how many are headed by women?
Congressman, I do not know the answer to that off the top of my head, but I can get it for you.
Well, I believe you can get it, Mr. Zuckerberg, but one would assume that you would know who heads these corporations that are going to be running this global company. How many of them are minorities, Mr. Zuckerberg?
Congressman, I do not know off the top of my head.
Are there any members of the LGBTQ+ community associated with this association, Mr. Zuckerberg?
Congressman, I don't know the answer.
Who acknowledge? There are many
All
people
right.
who
yes,
acknowledge.
That's enough. But I did. That was the strangest thing. And when I was watching Congressman Green, he looks out of it. Honestly, I don't know if that's his normal affect, but it was just a strange. It was a strange interaction. Of course, he has led the impeachment of President Trump. They've had three votes in the House, which have failed. Maybe you didn't know that, and they're trying to get a fourth vote now, which is of course not taking place. I have other things I want to tell you, of course, but I also want to open the phone lines. So I think we better open the phone lines, don't you? If we're going to have some time to talk today, we need to do it. Our phone number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Just make sure you have something, precise, concise to say. You don't want to ramble and you don't want to pontificate too much, but just if you have something that you want to ask or deliver or say something about, we'd love to hear from you. Our phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk. We'll be right back.
just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. A popular effort in social revisionism is happening, where racism, which is better described in biblical terms as skin color-based partiality, is a crime of which only people of lighter skin color can be guilty. Let's be clear. Factions, divisions, and dissensions, including those based on skin color, are the fruit of the sinful flesh. The root cause of partiality is sin. Every person, regardless of the quantity of melanin in their skin, is capable of partiality. The only remedy for sin is the blood of Jesus Christ.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Dr. Frank Turek of Cross Examine.
Can human beings construct an objective moral standard independent of God? Are God's commands based on God's desires? Are they based on God's authority or something else?
We'll also have news headlines and analysis from American Family News. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
We compartmentalize our faith, don't we? That's what we do on Sunday. The rest of the time, we do other things. But that's not the way the early Christians lived. Their job was an add-on to their real ministry, which was to live for Christ. That's what I hope we can begin to see happen.
Join Dr. David Jeremiah for his series, Everything You Need, next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. The phrase quid pro quo is from Latin and literally means this for that. It refers to an agreement between two parties where each gets something in exchange from the other. A quid pro quo can be innocent or it can be corrupt. It all depends. Quid pro quos are the way in which nations do business with each other and make agreements and treaties. All President Trump's enemies can talk about is a supposed quid pro quo with Ukraine. But what the president was seeking in his phone call with the Ukrainian president was help in rooting out corruption. We had evidence that Obama's policy toward Ukraine was affected by all the money Joe Biden's son was receiving from Ukraine for a business he knew nothing about. That's corrupt. When Trump asked Ukraine for help in stopping this corruption, he wasn't doing something impeachable. He was just doing his job.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Earlier this week, China's defense minister issued an explicit and mortal threat to Taiwan. He declared that its enslavement through unification with the People's Republic of China was a top priority for the Chinese Communist Party, and he asserted that no one would be allowed to impede the realization of that goal. Those warnings were issued against the backdrop of Beijing's intensifying crackdown in Hong Kong, and the infamous phone call to President Trump from Recep Tayyip Erdogan announcing the Turkish dictator's imminent invasion of northern Syria. Right now, before Chinese dictator Xi Jinping is tempted to make a similar call announcing that Taiwan is the next to be attacked, President Trump should serve notice that America stands squarely with those in the front lines of the war for the free world, the people of Hong Kong and their Taiwanese counterparts. This is Frank Gaffney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Sandy Rios back with you. We are going to go to the phones in just one second. Our phone number is 888-589-8840. And happy always to talk to you. Let me just do a shout out to some of you who have sent email and made Facebook comments on our Facebook page, Sandy Rios in the Morning. I've heard from a couple of veterans here. James is a veteran. He says, three deployments to Iraq and Afghanistan. I worked with teams in Afghanistan who put high-value targets into Guantanamo Bay. James is commenting on the president's decision to withdraw troops from the northeastern Syria. By the way, they announced a ceasefire yesterday. If you didn't hear this, this is a really big deal. The president is removing the sanctions on Turkey, and Turkey has agreed to withdraw from the area and not harass the Kurds. I think they're setting up a kind of a demilitarized zone. That's my words. I don't know if they're using that word, and that's a real sketchy telling of a very important subject, but I wanted to give you background of what James is talking about. He says, overall, as Christians, we must remember that Jesus called us out of this world. He promised we would be hated, persecuted, and killed for believing in him, but he promised us salvation. When facing persecution, God gives us our instructions, weapons of spiritual warfare, to bless those that persecute us and pray for those who persecute us. With this said, I'm not advocating for allowing Christians to be slaughtered. I'm only addressing the fact that the Bible says these things will happen to us. Therefore, we should not be surprised when it does. Thanks, James, for your wisdom and also for your service to the country. This is also from Nathan. Nathan says, I'm a member of the Church of Christ and a former Army captain and Gold Star sibling, meaning one of his brothers or sisters was killed in combat. He says, Trump is correct in removing our troops from that conflict. That area will always be at war. We cannot continue to have our sons and daughters over there to die for them if they will not be willing to end it. Our military is to fight and win America's wars. If they can't because of politics, then we shouldn't be there. I would rather have our men and women over there finishing wars, not stuck in a political shell game. And this is from Ted. Ted, I don't think Ted is a veteran, but he just says, for those who say we should have stayed, and talking specifically about protecting Christians, he says, should we send troops into China because of Christian persecution? And if not, why not? It's a very good question, Ted. Very good to get us thinking about that. And then last but not least, there's a lot I could share, of course, lots of great comments. And I thank you for all of them, and I do and read them. I just can't comment on all of them. This is from Pastor Wynn, just a sweet encouragement. He said, keep up the great work. And he says some very nice, lovely things. And he said, I pray you have found a mentee to pour into so that this legacy of standing up for what is right and good does not disappear. The Lord bless you always. And Pastor Wynn, Pastor, thank you for that admonition. It's good for me to think about that. I have to say, I think the people that listen to me are my mentees. I mean, when I travel and go out, people say, you know, kids will say, you know, I grew up listening to you, and now I'm majoring in political science at such and such a university. I've had that happen more than once, and it's been fun. I've had people get involved in politics, and I don't mean that there's a political solution. I know I'm going to get emails saying, yeah, but he's not talking about political. I'm talking about the entire world. God is everywhere and bringing our faith to the public arena, like Ben Carson did when he prayed in the White House at the cabinet meeting just yesterday. So, all right, let's go to the phones. We've got, let's go down to, let's go to Louisiana and talk to Patty. Good morning, Patty.
Hi, I just want to state real quick to encourage people to call Congress. I call them almost every day, your representatives, your Senate. And I've got from somebody on the air at AFR a number. If you want, I'll give it to you. It goes straight to Washington. You ask who you want to speak to. You call, leave a message or whatever.
Well, Patty, wait, hang on one second. Why are you calling them? What particular reason are you calling them?
Yes, to encourage them, to let them know that they need to stand up for the president, because they are trying to overthrow and have been trying to overthrow since day one this president that we elected, and we elected him for a reason, and they need to support us, and they need to support him and stand up behind him. Or
Patty,
there will not be a Republican Party.
Exactly. Well, I, you know what? I'm not, let me just, my personal opinion on that. It's not the party I'm defending. It's the country. And, you know, the party is the tool, at least some of the party is a tool for that. But I want to preserve the Republic. That's really probably the instruction that I would give people. And Patty, I think right now it's more important to call senators than congressmen. Wouldn't you agree? We've got to get the senators.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So
absolutely.
give us the Capitol switchboard number.
Okay, 202-202-224-3121, and that'll bring you straight to the switchboard.
All right, okay.
202-224-3121.
Yeah, Patty, thanks a lot. Good thought, good reminder. We should put that on our page and keep it there all the time. 202-224-3121, that's the Capitol switchboard number. And I'm with Patty. I think this would be, you need to call your senators. I read you that Daily Caller survey where they only found six or seven Republican senators who said they would vote not to impeach. That doesn't mean the other said they would. It just means they don't have the courage to even speak up. And so they need to hear from you. It's 202-224-3121. Okay, let's go to Mark in Texas. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Sandy.
So what's on your mind?
Well, I was listening to your show yesterday, and at the end of it, I was just driving, and I heard you say the two whistleblower and even the second whistleblower's name, so I assumed that you had it as fact, and I didn't hear it, and your screener told me that you had just heard that on, you know, another source, and so that was my curiosity.
Is that what you mean, if the names have come out and how I know that? Is that your question?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, it's just that's what insiders are reporting, and nobody seems to be willing to say it out loud. And I think part of it, honestly, I suspect, Mark, that part of it is that this whistleblower may be connected at a deeper level with all that's been transpiring with the deep state. And so I don't know
I
if they're...
So.
Yeah. So just stay tuned. I'm sure we will know the name. Somebody else will announce the name besides me sooner rather than later. Thanks for listening and thanks for your call. Let's go to Kelly in Texas. Good morning, Kelly.
Good morning.
Good morning. What's on your mind?
Well, I don't know if this is a stupid question or not, but is it plausible for the American people to file a class action lawsuit against the government to get our money back for the $40 million that's been spent to impeach the president that we voted for? And
I think that's a great idea. I don't know who's going to, I mean, I don't know if it's possible. I'm not an attorney, but it sounds like something certainly the left would do in reverse, wouldn't they? Yeah.
But yeah, but I'm really serious. You know, I listen to your show every morning. I love it. And I get angry. And I was watching Fox News last night. And I was listening to the president's son, one of them. I can't remember which one. And he was talking about his book, and he has chronicled the number of dollars that taxpayers have spent, our hard-earned dollars, to defend the president we voted in. And I'm frustrated because I want those dollars to go to something that I wanted to go for. And I'm ready to go to a lawyer and just say, can I somehow get that money back? And I think a lot of people would sign on with me.
Oh, I do too. I do too, Kelly. I laugh just because it's actually very clever. And there is merit to that. I'm only laughing because, you know, my knee-jerk response is, you know, nothing that should happen actually generally happens. But I know the Treasury is bankrupt. You know, we just have no money. I think maybe we should go after these senators who have enriched themselves through shady deals or untoward associations, who came into the Senate, you know, with, you know, a few a few hundred thousand dollars and owning a house and left multimillionaires, and maybe made these decisions. Maybe we should go after them. But that would be a messy business. But it's a very interesting thought, Kelly. Very interesting. Thank you. Let's go to Jennifer in Texas. Everybody's from Texas this morning. Good morning, Jennifer. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. I've recently just discovered your show, and I love it. Tell Kelly I will sign up with her lawsuit.
All right.
I'm just curious, what can we – I'm from Texas, so of course I would hope that my senators and representatives would vote against impeachment. But what else can we do if you're in a conservative state? You can call your senator – but I don't have pull in California, New York, Minnesota. What can we do to stop this? Is there anything?
Yes, there is something practical I can tell you about. We had Jenny Beth Martin on a week before last, and the Tea Party Patriots are starting an effort, which I'm joining. It's called, it's the Trump Defense Team, I believe is the name of it. Yeah, TrumpDefenseTeam.org. TrumpDefenseTeam.org. If you look for that, go online. It gives you practical tools, letters to the editor, ways to contact your congressman, and other actions you can take to organize where you are. Lots of practical steps. It's Trump. What did it just went off the screen again? What did I just say? Hang on a minute. I'll get it.
TrumpDefenseTeam.org.
Thank you very much. Trump. That's like what you probably heard me say when I used to do mainstream radio and I would do the news or the weather. I would get off the air and I'd think, I was walking to the parking lot. I'd think, what's the weather like today? And I just said the weather every hour, but I can't, because sometimes I'm reading and not thinking. TrumpDefenseTeam.org. TrumpDefenseTeam.org. And that's a, That is really a very good and will be a very effective way to do something, as you're asking me. Okay?
Thank you so much. You have a blessed day.
All right, you too. And thanks. I'm glad you're listening. Thank you for joining our listening family. Thank you. Let's go to Lynn in Georgia. Good morning. Another state. Thank goodness. Hi, Lynn. How are you?
Just fine. How are you, Sandy?
Very good. What's on your mind, Lynn?
Well, you know, I keep seeing what's going on, and there doesn't seem to be any turning back by media or by the government, the Congress. And I believe they're pushing this country to a civil war that's going to be a shooting civil war if they continue down the path of dividing this nation. And, you know, I hope God has mercy on this great nation, because I don't see any way that it can be put back together.
Well, I wouldn't say, well, humanly, yes. Humanly, yes. But Lynn, I still think I am not willing to give up. I am just not. Just like in the Civil War, you know, our forefathers didn't give up. They fought. They ended up having to kill each other. It was horrible. But they came out at the other end of it with a nation that was united. And remember, the nation went through like a revival, a spiritual revival. We fought a really incredible war, World War II. And we had years where we raised great families and we honored God. And so I believe, yes, I believe it is possible still, Lynn. I do think, practically speaking, it's the senators we have to go over after right now. They are like, I don't know where they are. Their heads are deeply in the sand. I have to tell you, I heard someone give a briefing yesterday. I can't be specific, but I was appalled. It's though they really are in an ivy tower. They don't get it. And they don't know how mad you are. They have no idea. Look at that Daily Caller survey I told you about. I think it's the senators who need to hear from us, and then we need to have long-term memories, because elections are coming up, and these guys need to be gone. If they don't have any more backbone than what they're demonstrating, they need to be gone, and that goes for the rest of the House members who are unwilling to fight as well. And so I'm going to give the Capitol switchboard number to encourage your senator to take a stand on impeachment now. Take it now. Where do you stand? Do not impeach. Don't you dare. We will not forget this. We will not forget what you're doing or not doing. It's 202-224-3121, 202-224-3121. Lynn, thanks. I appreciate your comments. Let's go to Joe in Ohio. Quickly, Joe, if you can.
Yes, you touched on it. Support the conservative pro-life candidates. There's an election in 9 days. The liberals don't take an election off. We can't afford to take an election off. A year and 9 days from now, support the conservative pro-life candidates. Don't send your money to Swamp and Washington. Then Mitch McConnell and Kevin McCarthy will decide who gets supported. Could you just imagine a conservative pro-life senator like Judge Roy Moore versus a rhino establishment figure like Mitt Romney? We've got to support the conservative pro-life candidates. Send the money directly to them, not to the Washington Swamp. Thanks
yes.
for your program.
Yes, yes, totally right, Steve. And let me just say that American Family Association, our action, American Family Action, which is our sister organization, has a great voter guide. If all of you need to pay attention, maybe some of you don't even know that on November 5th there's an election. Those of you in Virginia probably do, because it's a heated one. But there are other elections around the country that are very important. So you need to find out, look at your local paper, Google your own. I don't know who, I can't say for you who's, there's 50 states, so it's hard to keep up with all of that. But go to afaaction.net and look at the voter guide, and it will guide you on the policies and positions of the various candidates around the country. And also read your paper, look between the lines. I always say, look who's supporting various candidates. Find out who's giving to them. And that'll tell you as much as you need to know. Hey, listen, thanks, Steve, and thank you all. I'm sorry I didn't get to all the phone calls, all the email, all the Facebook. But thank you so much for your listening and for your prayers. We are going to, with God's help, we will preserve this nation. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.